This is Matt Spiegel, and I can't wait to bring you season two of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. It's a job so special that even Joe Buck told us he will probably go back to it.
I'm 53, basically 54. I think it's too early to say nevers at this point in my life. I think at some point I'll get the itch again.
Incredible guests sharing great stories from your favorite teams coming this year. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts. Podcasts.
Can't get enough of the fan in the morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
All right, we do a Boomer birthday edition of the podcast. What's up, Al?
Oh, hi there, Jerry. I popped on we always talk about the length of Joe Rogan podcast.
Yes.
So he's got one out now, which I'm very interested in because it's about, I'm very interested in like really old stuff like the pyramids and all this stuff. So he has two guys on, two different archaeologists that are essentially debating each other. And I saw it. I was like, oh, this is going to be good. It's 4.5 hours long.
God.
And when I looked at it, I was like,
wow.
But then I think, like, as podcast producers ourselves here at WFAN, every show is pumping out a 4-hour podcast every day.
Yes and no. There's no commercials on his 4.5-hour podcast that really eats into that 4.5 hours.
Yeah, there are. There actually are a lot.
Not 18 minutes an
not
hour.
Not 18 minutes an hour, correct.
I mean,
but I'm saying we put out a 3-hour, each individual FAN show puts out a 3-hour podcast. Here's essentially the, every day.
Yes. The difference would be, you're right, it is 3 hours. We do 18 minutes an hour. So that's 36, that's 72. So you're right. So it's 2 hours and 50 minutes worth of podcast, absolutely. Different elements to it, though. Different voices, for the most part. When he does these podcasts, it's him and the guest, in this case, two guests.
Yeah.
Just talking for 4.5 hours.
4.5 hours.
That's
they do
long.
Stop occasionally to pee.
That's a long ass time.
Yeah, and this one, because it has to do with archaeology and the two guys battling as to how old certain things are.
So they have different
views? They have different views, yeah. The one guy has a view that there was a long lost civilization after the Ice Age, and mm-hmm. this other guy's view is there's no proof of that.
So how do you stand on that then?
Well, the one guy's claim is that we haven't excavated enough of these areas. Where the one guy's saying, "Oh, we've already looked in the Sahara Desert," and he's like, "Yeah, but the Sahara Desert is, I don't know, something insane, like 900 million mm-hmm. square miles, and they've looked at like a very tiny portion."
Right, so he's saying,
"What is there to say that this is not?"
Well, it's true. Remember, I said yesterday, I told you about the painting they found from thousands of years ago. That was deep below the surface that was preserved because of the way it was covered. So that's true, yeah.
Yeah, and then that there's structures under the water and buried in parts mm-hmm. of the world that the one guy believes an ancient civilization had to make these are man-made, and the other guy's arguing that even though it looks perfectly made, nature sometimes makes these things mm-hmm. with rocks in this. So it's quite a battle, but it's 4.5 hours long. Oof. And the other bad thing is each guy kind of brought a PowerPoint presentation.
Oh.
So there's a lot of like
visual
proof I would like to see, but I'm in my car.
Yep, I hear you.
You know what I mean?
That's where when you're doing something, it's not just, how many times do I tell you, these aren't podcasts. These are very well-produced shows that happen to air on YouTube that they put on Spotify.
Right.
All of them.
Even the
Shannon Sharp, Chad Ochocinco thing, the production value for that compared to, say, Around the Horn or one of those shows on ESPN is just as good. But it's a YouTube. I'm sorry, it's a podcast. It's a YouTube show.
Yeah. It's funny because for the most part, Joe Rogan's podcast is not very sounding.
But it's clear, though.
Like, it's clear,
it's
right.
Great video.
Yeah, it's a nice studio.
It is. It looks good.
Yeah.
You know?
So I did listen to an hour. You know, I listen on 1.5 speed, so I was able to listen probably at least an hour and 30 minutes so far mm-hmm. on my ride in. So I'll be busy with that the rest of the week, Jerry.
I hear. Well, if you put it on 1.5 speed, you'll be done in no time.
Yeah. I also checked in on this documentary. See if you'd be interested in this, Jerry. Documentary series on Netflix. It's called Unlocked. It's this. It's a documentary series. It's about a jail in Arkansas, where the person running the jail, the sheriff, I guess, is in charge of jails. He's got a game plan where instead of keeping the prisoners locked up 23 hours a day, which is what they were, locked up 23 hours a day, 1 hour out, he was going to let them be out always. In the within the confines of the jail, but you don't have to be in your jail cell.
Okay.
And to see if the prisoners can create kind of their own community and police themselves.
Mm.
But what's interesting in it is it seems so strange to work at a jail because you are essentially in jail for 8 hours a day. You know what I mean? Like, you are in that environment. Like, to be a cop who works in the jail.
Right.
It feels like you're in this community.
Feel like you're a prisoner?
In some ways, yeah. And it's really weird how a group of, I guess a group of people anywhere, but when you're in jail and you can't go anywhere, how they kind of create their own, like, hierarchy. Like, these are the veterans who have been in there a long time. These are the young guys. The young guys aren't going to listen to the old guys. The old guy. And
is it any different than society?
No, that's what I mean, though. But it does kind of seem like its own little society.
Yeah, it's a society of prisoners.
But with people who've done some really bad things.
That could do really bad things to you.
Yeah. And the other weird thing is there are a couple of very pretty girls working in the jail.
Really?
Weird.
Yeah, that is odd.
Like two pretty attractive guards.
Yeah.
That's a crazy job.
There's a... get back to that in a second, but to that point, have you noticed the police officer, the female police officer by the Holland Tunnel?
I have.
She's gorgeous.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's great. You want anybody that wants to be a cop, female, male, that is amazing to me. I mean, for someone that wants to do it, to do that, and I think they should make a lot more money than they do because they're putting their life on their life on the line every day. But I see a woman like that. She looks like she's in her early 30s. She's gorgeous. And I'm thinking, you chose to be a cop. I mean, you think about the way, whether it's a guy with six-pack abs or a beautiful female, you look at the way they use their body to exploit themselves for cash. We've seen this OnlyFans stuff. Paige Spiranak has made a fortune online just being who she is. You see guys that are ripped to shreds doing the same thing. To see someone like that that wants to be a cop, I'm like, good for you.
Yeah,
phenomenal.
It's wild. Like, if you are a beautiful person, whether you're a male or a female, the world is your oyster.
It certainly can be.
So to choose a dangerous profession.
Yeah.
Like a cop.
In New York City.
Yeah, cop in New York City, or you're working at this jail. Because there are times with the women in this jail where they're the ones in charge of having the prisoners come out and eat their meals and then getting them back in. All it takes is one.
Yeah.
It just seemed
chaos
nuts.
Can ensue.
Yeah, and it just seemed nuts.
I have a couple of friends of mine, well, acquaintances, friends, whatever, that are prison guards, and it's tough work. I mean, you know, they try to not think about what the prisoners do so that they can have a cordial relationship with them. They're not becoming friends with them by any stretch, but if you're dealing with these guys every night, you try to put that aside so you can just handle them properly. And that there's at least, you feel like a, I don't know, respect's the right word, but that there's some sort of, you know, give and take back and forth between the two so that there's no nonsense. And both have done it for a long time and they've never had an incident. So
yeah, I think that's what this is trying to do. So the sheriff is trying to say, listen, nobody wants to be locked up in here. You certainly don't want to be in your cell 23 hours out of the day.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you an opportunity for you guys to figure this out. And if you can't figure it out, everyone's back in their jail cells for 23 out of 24 hours a day. But it's also weird just to see, like, you have roommates in jail. Like, you have a jail cell person.
And a toilet.
And a toilet out in the open.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's, not only is everyone tatted up, they're doing their own tattoos in the jail.
Are they really?
With these crude needles and... It is wild. The other thing it made me think of is Listen, I'm all for throwing people in jail, bad guys. But really, they're not getting rehabbed. They're just sitting in this jail cell, fighting with each other, giving each other tattoos, having their meal, and going back in their jail.
And waiting until their sentence is up.
Right. So you get a guy like that who's gone away for 10, 20 years. They come out. What do we expect them to do?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of strange.
Yeah. That's your punishment for something you did wrong. You hope you learned for it so you don't go back to prison. And yet, I think, I'm not going to say a lot, but in certain cases, they end up right back in prison.
Yeah. And I've seen guys interviewed that were in prison, got out, and went back to prison. They almost get used to living in the prison.
Oh, of course.
And they want to be back there because that's what they know.
Mm-hmm.
It's really weird how our bodies and our minds can adapt to those sorts of things.
Think about a prison sentence. I'm not saying, I don't mean life. I'm not even going to say 30 years. Let's say someone goes to prison for 8 years, which, depending upon what the crime was, might be a light sentence. Think back now to 2016. And think about the technological changes we've had in 8 years that you have not been privy to. You don't really, I mean, you might have read about them in the newspaper or whenever you get computer time, but you've never dealt with it. Apps were a thing in 2016, but not like now. I think it would be overwhelming.
Yeah.
Like life just passes you by, the progress of life as you're rotting in that cell.
Right. Imagine like you go to the, you get out of prison, you're in there 10 years, you go to the supermarket, there's self-checkout now, there's people, everything's computerized.
Everything.
You're getting a car, you're like, what is this?
Yeah, right, right. Now you got electric cars now, which I knew they were starting,
yeah.
But I mean, very, very basic back then, 8 years ago.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Even just look at, like, you know, when Craig was in prison for that 1 year, like, his only communication was this crude email that he was allowed to receive with a list of people of like six.
Right. That were allowed to email him.
That was it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you surrender your cell phone, like you surrender your life and you're just given basically the basics.
Yeah. Yeah, and then the prisoner only has a certain amount of time, a day or a week, to go through there, to read their emails.
Right.
That was weird. I was on the email list to email mm-hmm. Craig, and I remember...
I was too, till I got kicked off.
You got kicked out?
I was booted for about 3 months. I did get a nice email from him saying, I need to remove you from the list. I don't know what important person took my spot.
Or a family member.
But I was put back on a few months later.
But it felt weird in... You wanted to write to him because, mm-hmm. you know, like other than reading, like, oh, it's nice to have something. But I also didn't want to say...
How great things were,
yes!
Over here? I know.
Oh, I'm doing great. I just got a new car. You know, I didn't want to deliver good news.
I know.
Because that felt weird, too.
Oh, I know. I felt the same way. I literally felt weird. Sometimes I would sit down to actually email him.
Yeah.
And be like... I don't know what to write.
Right.
Because I don't want to depress him. So sometimes I would just write, hey, just check it in, you know, and then I would be lost. What am I going to write? What's going on?
Right.
How are you doing?
All right, two things. One, if you write good news, you're like, oh, I don't want to like sound like I'm having a grand old time out here while you're in jail. The other thing was, my whole life is just complaining.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I'm going to complain. I waited in line at the Stop and Shop today, and the guy in front of me had too many items in the express lane.
I don't think he wants to hear that.
Right? At least I'm out free.
I know. Again, there are so many things that put everything in perspective. Then we just lose it.
We lose it so quickly.
Yeah, I know. Well, I really try not to, but we do. We do. You know, yesterday I was playing golf with my two sons. We had a great time. There was about a three-hole stretch where I could not hit the ball. and I was getting annoyed. I wasn't throwing clubs or anything like that, but I was annoyed. And then I literally just, you know what? I looked up. There wasn't a cloud in the sky. It was 72 degrees. My two kids were talking to one another, like having a good time. And I literally just smiled. I'm like, who gives a crap if I can't hit a white ball?
Right. So,
and all kidding aside, I started hitting the ball better right after that.
Because you got your mind off it.
I did. I kind of relaxed, and it was perspective. Like, what am I upset? Who cares? Like,
yeah.
A lot of dads can't do this. I just spent 4 hours with them.
Yeah, it's hard, though, to bring yourself, when you're annoyed at little things.
No, I know.
To bring yourself back to look at the bigger picture, right?
Yeah, I think a lot of people deal with that. And it's usually death to someone that you are close with or that you know well enough that makes you step back and think.
Yeah.
Like, what am I so concerned about this nonsense for?
Yeah.
But sometimes we can't control our emotions.
Yeah, and you get, they say also that strangely, the people who've traveled to space and were able to see mm-hmm. Earth from so far away, that perspective, in a, I guess a similar way to somebody who's faced death and beat sure. death and like really can appreciate, this idea of as you're pulling away from the Earth, seeing how minuscule your part is
mm-hmm.
in all that.
Grain of sand.
Yeah.
On a 40-acre beach.
Yeah, like, you ever look at, like, imagine looking at your house, right?
Yeah.
And there's the Jerry Recco car, there's the Jerry Recco house, and there's those things with the cameras on them? Drone.
Mm-hmm.
There's a drone, Jerry, and it starts on your roof, and it pulls up, and there's this Jerry Recco house, and little by little, you go all the way up to now you see all of New Jersey, and then the United States, then the Earth. Man, you got to feel like nothing matters.
It doesn't.
But then it does. The day-to-day nonsense.
It does and it doesn't.
Matters and even bugs us.
You know, I fly so much because of Rutgers.
Yeah.
And I do like to travel. It amazes me when you're, you know, flying over the country, a nice, beautiful day, and you can see down, even from, you know, 30,000 feet or where you might be, and you'll see these neighborhoods. Like flying a minute, like my last flight was coming back from Minneapolis. And I remember taking off, it was beautiful out there when we were coming back.
Yeah.
I don't know what we were flying over. I don't know if it was Illinois. I don't know where the hell we were, but it could have been Illinois. It could have been, I don't even know, Pennsylvania, Ohio, whatever it might. And you look down and it's like, you talk about you're shrinking your life into one little box. Everybody's life is this tiny little box. And everybody is somebody somewhere else.
Yeah.
Meaning there's someone just like you with similar, for lack of a better word, problems, because I don't think many of us really have problems when in the grand scheme of things, but the same issues, same family problems, same sleep issues, same friend nonsense, but this is happening in Columbus, Ohio, and this is on my little tiny half-acre plot of land that is so meaningless in the grand scheme of the universe. It's like, wow.
Yeah, I think of that when flying, when you look down on a neighborhood where mm-hmm. all the houses look the same, right? You like a newer neighborhood that was
yeah.
just built. And yeah, it's just thinking like every one of those is an individual
world.
Yeah.
Yes.
But with the people in that family, in that world. And yet, when you pull out far away,
it's nothing.
They're one of millions of
correct.
Them.
Billions, actually.
Billions, Jerry.
Probably
billions.
Probably billions, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a remarkable, eye-opening experience, not in space, but just being on a plane or looking down. Like right now, and I know Eddie always has fun with that drop, right now someone is, and right now there are people dying, and that's never going to change. That's just statistically a fact on the planet when you get all these people. You know, right now, if someone took their last breath, okay, that's a sad reality of life. Okay. Like, right now it's 7:22 on the beaches of San Diego, and somewhere a beautiful woman or an older man, they're walking their puppy along the coastline, and we're sitting here in the pit hole of New York.
Yeah.
And yet someone in Detroit just ran a red light. Someone in Chicago I don't know. It's just crazy how much is going on simultaneously.
And someone in the Midwest is saying, I want to move to New York.
Yes.
I need to live in New York City.
And right now, someone just crossed the state lines from New Jersey into Delaware to get their ass to the Carolinas to get out of here. Yeah, I mean, right. All that stuff is happening, but we don't think about it because we're in our little world.
Right, you're right. Right now, someone is driving from New Jersey to the Carolinas in a U-Haul.
Yes. Yeah, probably multiple people. Day. Yeah. Multiple. How many people are on the T-boxes right now? I'm somewhere in Phoenix with beautiful golden sunshine and a day that's going to be 84 and sunny.
And yet someone is also taking their last breath.
Unfortunately, sadly,
in a hospital somewhere.
Many people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, right. That's another. It's kind of like The Godfather, the end of The Godfather.
What happens? Which, I didn't see that.
All right. The end of The Godfather with the christening and killing all the mob heads. It's like you've got, as we sit here right now, someone is giving birth a new life to a baby. And on this side, someone literally just died. It's not, and it happens in the same hospital on the same day, every day.
Do you ever think, did a soul transfer?
I used to think that.
At that moment, it went from the dying person.
No.
You think it's got to go recycle somewhere first?
No, I don't think that either. No, I'm sorry.
It'd be cool if when we passed away, we immediately, like there was a line, you pass away, your soul goes into the waiting room, as the next baby up is you.
I'll tell you what I think of religion. I hope it's all true. I have no proof that it is.
Right.
So I don't know. I have no idea. I don't believe it. I hope it. But I don't know.
This is good, Jerry. But right now there are two gentlemen that have a meeting to attend about a live show in Jersey City.
Oh, we're done?
On May 3rd.
Okay. You didn't want to talk about hell?
Hell? We could pick that up tomorrow.
No, I'm good. I'm good. I'm just kidding.
We'll do the warm-up show, though, right now for you. Right now, someone...
Like, where do all the murderers go, then? People will say hell, so they don't get reincarnated then as better human beings? Why not? Why wouldn't that be the case?
I don't know. Or should they get reincarnated as worse human beings, prove that they can be a good human being, and then start that way?
Right. Or how about this? There's no reincarnation.
Hmm. If there is and you get a better life, that's pretty cool for us because we have a good life right now. Imagine you can get a better life in your next go-round.
I couldn't imagine better, actually.
That'd be nice.
Mine's pretty good.
I could be a little better. I'd like a little.
That's on you, though.
A little more cash would be cool. Or
you've got plenty.
You'd be born in San Diego, so that's where your family
you
is, and that's
there.
Where you live.
You've got the world by the balls. You just choose not to squeeze.
I see.
Are we going to go?
All right, so.